Welcome back once again to episode 53 of the Retrocade Podcast. It's Phil.
Sean.
Oh, we're good to be here. Glad to be here. And this is the special New Year's Eve
New
episode.
Year's Christmas holiday content.
We're catching up because we didn't really get a Thanksgiving or Christmas episode in. So this is like
we were waiting. There's so many big movies came out.
I know. It was like, because hasn't been many movies
and
at all.
All these movies have been... We've been hyped and waiting for. They've been on the shelf.
Yes.
The COVID shelf.
A lot of the COVID shelf for like a year.
It's been delayed for at least a year.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Spider-Man
for sure. They've been sitting around because those were all filmed probably in 2018.
The Matrix Abomination.
The Matrix Abominations. I like to call it the Matrix Awakens. The Matrix Awakens. Because it's just, we'll go into it.
Awakens
but
your disgust?
Awakens or? my disgust for it, Sean. That's the word to use. Yeah, but we got a lot to go in on. And of course, just dropped The Glorious Book of Boba Fett.
So we'll start with that because it's the most freshest.
The most fresh. Everybody's talking about it. Absolutely.
In one word, epic. I loved it.
I think
Favreau is on fire.
Yes.
He can't do no wrong. And it kind of led where the Mandalorian finished. It was just flawless, exciting, rich character development, and more importantly, it played into what had happened in the Sarlacc pit.
Yes. You know what? So, definitely in agreement about that. What you're saying, it feels like the Mandalorian, it diverts from where it left off in the Mandalorian, which is great. And it feels like, it's like a story they wanted to tell in the Mandalorian, but like, oh, this is really a completely different thing. Let's just branch off and do a different show with it. But same feel, same kind of tone.
So,
which is great. It, of course, what you're looking at very much mimics what we originally know and love about Star Wars, especially because Jabba's Palace you start in.
I realize, though,
Tatooine
being such a shithole backwater, it's the nucleus of all Star Wars.
It almost has to be because the images, I think, and feelings of most people that love the original trilogy.
The New Hope was that sandy planet. The Obi-Wan is going to be in Tatooine.
Tatooine too. It's almost like Star Wars can't get away from Tatooine and dark sandy planets.
There's the Dagobah stories,
There's
some frog-eating
frog-eating lizards and like the creature, the water beast that spits out R2,
It's like flying like pterodactyl.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, this is really, I think, a visual element that makes you feel like it's Star Wars, that I think
that bothered me, which is not much, this is just a niche that I'm nitpicking here, is Jabba's palace felt very empty to me.
Oh, well, of course, there's no one in it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, well, because when you see Jabba's palace in the original Return of the Jedi 1983, it's filled with creatures.
Packed with creatures.
But they're all gone because... because they half of them, first of all, were on the sales barge, so they all blew up, all those weirdo creatures, and so he doesn't really have denizens yet, Boba Fett.
Well, I guess everyone knows of him. He's the most famous bounty hunter.
They know of Boba Fett, and they're like, oh, now Boba Fett's running?
I guess they don't know it's lucrative enough to be working for him and being involved there.
Sure, because he wasn't really a crime lord, he was just a feared bounty hunter, and it's like, does he have the pull and clout that Jabba did? Jabba was like notorious gangster, ran that planet, and had a lot of clout. He had soldiers, meaning like his Grimorian guards, and of course had a ton of money.
I like the Grimorians.
Me too.
But they need some armor. They were like naked.
They were naked. They need some. They need just the original armor.
Like little fur.
Put the fur skirt and their little.
They wear their pelts.
Yeah, they need their fur pelt, and they need some.
These guys are just naked, but they're a good muscle.
They were good muscle. He needs a little muscle. He can't be. He's still also.
And they're loyal, which was cool. They know that they
like
stuck with Jabba. They stuck with
Bib Fortuna. I like that element of it too.
They're very loyal, kind of enforcer, guardian.
For sure. I know. I totally like that element of it as well, because...
So this was interesting. So the Sarlacc, the old stories, which are not canon anymore because Disney threw them out. The old canon of the Sarlacc was Dengar saved him. And if people don't know who Dengar is...
he's another
Empire
bounty hunter.
Empire Strikes Back. He's the only human... Well, not counting Boba Fett. And he has like a towel
bandages
over his head.
Yeah,
he's
got
he's like a cyborg.
He's kind of a little scarred up. He don't really look cyborg, but he's got that bandage towel over his head. And he's kind of gruff and wearing weird gear
the
too.
In the books, he
dragged Boba Fett out of it.
He saved Boba Fett.
I mean, I'm happy that they gave us a bit of a, obviously spoilers at this point. I would, it's easy to go see Book of Boba Fett. Just watch it and come back.
So, yeah, this whole episode's gonna be spoilers. You haven't seen Ghostbusters, Spider-Man.
Sure.
Turn it off now. Watch it. Then we listen to the episode.
Yeah. I would hope people at least, because you know, Book of Boba Fett is easy to watch because you just click it on.
Disney
Plus.
Streaming. Boom.
You just stream right then and there. But
it was interesting.
I'm happy that they delved on those little pieces.
The Jawas don't even help them to steal. They're like,
yeah, they just jack his uniform.
Hit him with a cane.
Yeah, they knock him out.
And then they just steal his
expensive armor and just dip, you know.
And then the same people are like, oh, let's use this guy as a hostage.
Yeah.
They abduct him, torture him.
Like a half a slave, kind of, because they had him, you know.
And then he had the Rodian was with him.
Yeah, the Rodian.
Rodian was like a shithead. He's like, yo, why? We could have escaped.
Yeah, we could have escaped. He's like,
rah, rah, rah. He's like, fuck off.
Idiot. I'm happy he got Aten killed.
And then how the sand people are, he killed this giant
monster
lizard
creature. I thought it was a crate dragon at first when it came out of this.
That was looking small for a crate.
Yeah, no, too small for a crate dragon. So it was a different monster in the sand, which is fine.
And he killed it. So they're like, oh, you're like one of us. Like,
right.
You're a true warrior.
Yeah, you gave him more
respect. And he gives them like the water fruit.
Yeah, the water fruit that they were sucking water out of. And then the little Tusken Raider had the head as a trophy of the monster.
I love the Tusken Raiders. They're very interesting.
Sure.
These nomads. You never know what they look like.
No, under it. Probably freakish, right? I hope they're disgusting looking.
Their voice is like, their voice is awesome.
Yeah, like, it's just that.
The Tusken Raiders are very cool.
Very cool,
the Banthas.
I liked also that they changed their color up in this one. They had, like, red sheaths, like, almost red and black.
And, like, the leader had, like, a different outfit.
Regular cloaks. Right. Yeah.
So it was very cool with the Tusken Raiders kind of.
Yeah, different, maybe, like, a different tribe
of
Tusken.
They saved them, but for their own purposes.
Sure.
They didn't save them for the goodwill.
No, they weren't being nice Tusken Raiders.
They're like, oh, he's a prisoner. We could use him.
Yeah,
for
they were
going to
just use him for whatever.
For, like, labor.
Slavery.
Digging
up those water fruits. Yeah, and, like, other various shits. And I liked all those elements. I felt like the water digging went on for a little bit because, like, you know, I feel like every minute counts with these shows. Because, again, how many episodes is this?
Well, so what's
it, eight?
So he has this, like, healing pod.
Yeah, it's his Bacta tank. He even said it to the Gamorreans. He's like, get me back to the Bacta tank.
Is he, like, physically dying or he needs it or, like, what?
I think it's healing him. Maybe he does need it forever.
I mean,
I don't know.
Terrible for...
He was in that Zarlak pit where they slowly
digested
over a thousand years. I like how he got out, like, from the side, which was not the way I envisioned. But other than that, like, I'm happy because, like, anybody watching it will be like, oh, that's how he got out.
It was cool, though. He, like, took the oxygen from the stormtrooper.
Yeah. Where did the stormtrooper get in there? I guess another time.
Must have fell in
another event because there was no stormtroopers.
When the Jabba's thing exploded
and his crowd. I didn't see any of his creatures in there because obviously you see Boba in the slimy Zarlak pit in there.
What are the sand guy, the skiff guards?
Yeah, the skiff guards, the Weequays.
The Weequays.
Yeah.
A bunch of Weequays fell in there.
Yeah, we didn't see any rotting Weequays. I would have liked to see one of
those.
There's
got to be at least 25
Weequays. There's got to be 25 Weequays that were rotten in there, yeah. And they get slowly digested. Over a thousand years. Now, the Sarlacc doesn't keep you alive. It just keeps you... like
you're getting digested.
You're getting digested, but you're not...
You don't die immediately.
You don't die immediately. But it doesn't... like, you're not alive. It doesn't, like, keep you alive. It just...
no.
It slowly...
It's not a parasitic.
Yeah, no. It just, like... it slowly digests whatever is left of your corpse. Like, it's... like, it... essentially, I guess, its juices keep you... they're like a preservative, I guess. Because it's digesting you over a thousand years.
You don't know the anatomy of the Sarlacc digestive system.
I know, we're getting a little too... I always wondered that as a kid. I was like, 1,000 years? I was like, but, like, you know...
So you immediately see the power struggle of, oh, like, let's get this guy, he's a bitch. And then they try to, like, jack him and, like, the...
There's the mayor, like, so there's the, what's it called?
We haven't seen the mayor yet. He's going to be
the Twi'lek comes in, he's like what is he like a servant assistant for the mayor and like, you know, and all this etiquette. Oh, you may be seeing another, another.
He's like, where's the tribute? Like, no, we need it.
The mayor wants tribute and he's like, well, I'm the crime lord. Where's my tribute? You know, it's true.
It's interesting that Twi'leks have all these numerous colors, which I've noticed.
Yeah, because it was
lines,
green, now we got red, yellow.
And apparently they're all, like, supposed to be really attractive women, the Twi'leks.
Yeah.
The Star Wars lore.
Yeah.
And you're looking at them like, well, that, you know, you see something, I'm looking like, all right, for an alien, not too bad.
Yeah, not bad for an alien.
but the biggest thing developing is the power struggle, him just making him known. And there's a famous quote, like, Jabba ruled with fear.
I'll rule with respect.
Yeah.
It's very much, like, from, like, a Bronx Tale. When he's like, it's better to be feared than respected, you know, whatever the hell he said. you know, but a similar quote. But yeah, I certainly like where, like, you know, it feels like The Mandalorian, which is good. But you're following Boba Fett, which and there and also that's another thing to mention. They're we got to throw in some character because, like, let's face it, he only has 4 lines in the original movies. There really isn't much character development there. So they're using the prequels to show you some character development.
And when he's in the tank, he has all his memories. Yeah. They see him as a kid.
They see him in
Django's, his father's helmet.
They have episode 2 flashbacks, yeah, from the movie itself. And when, you know, young Boba is looking at the helmet of Django.
That's his father. Yeah. You know. And Django is a very cool character. Yeah, I like Django. Yeah.
I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the galaxy.
So overall, fantastic. Excited what's going to come. And it's going to be a power struggle to see him fighting all these deviants.
Do you think we'll see any throwback characters at all? Or
I would hope so. I mean, I would like to see one of a Zuckuss or a Bossick or
You see, there was a transition in the episode.
There was a transition.
Yeah, he was like, what did he say? He was like, here's your tribute or whatever he said to him.
It's funny.
He makes a comment. He's like, it even sounds like a threat.
The Jawa stole his, like, credits when they were
right. He got the...
It was like the brawl. And
and they come and get his credits out of the helmet. Yeah, because he was shaken down, but asking for protection money from that bar or whatever, which I thought was a great bar and kind of like gambling hall. That's the way you do a gambling hall casino in Star Wars.
Not the Benicio Del Toro.
Exactly. Not the way that they did it in Last Jedi.
Alien casino, not Las Vegas.
Yeah, it like with like black and white suits that looks way too earthly, you know?
This had a more alien...
Yes, it was unusual, but you completely understood what it was like. In The Last Jedi, it's like golden stuff, and everyone's wearing like black and white, which you perceive as a tuxedo.
But it's a Star Wars movie, not James Bond.
You shouldn't be aliens wearing tuxedos. it's ridiculous, you know. And that scene felt incredibly prequelish, like in The Last Jedi, and of course, that whole sequence. Of course, anything on that planet. What was it called?
I couldn't remember. I burned that from my
Canto memory. Canto Bite. That whole sequence is bad because
fucking trilogy is bad.
Oof, I know, like, you know,
we're being a dead horse.
It's rare when you hear anybody.
Is there gonna be an Ahsoka show, or is this? There's rumors.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. I believe so. That's in the works. Yeah.
And I read something that
I see a lot of people like bad mouthing Rosario Dawson as her, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
She was great.
Like,
and
overly nerding it, complaining about, oh, her tentacles weren't long enough. They should be longer. And it's like, oh, God. Like, come on, guys.
And whenever I read it, they said Thrawn will have a lot of scenes in the Ahsoka show. But
there you go.
I think Thrawn
might be the big plot piece.
Thrawn is one of the most excited to see visually. Like,
oh, for sure. Because you haven't had him in live action.
And you haven't had such a marquee villain really grace the screen.
Yes, because he's a big villain in the Star Wars lore, you know, for 35 years now, you know, and who you've seen everybody, you know, you've seen Vader, you've seen the Emperor, but we haven't gotten a Thrawn yet. And he's up there on that list of characters. We've even seen Tarkin come back in Rogue One. So
it was a beautiful thing.
Right. And so we, you know, I'm sure it's they know that it's going to be.
So, yeah, Favreau. Oh, so Matt Berry, who's in the What We Do in the Shadows. He was in the IT Crowd.
Sure.
He's a very famous British actor. Really funny, hilarious dude. You'd recognize him. He has a beard, little chubby, long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous British actor. So I'm like watching the credits. It says Matt Berry on the Boba Fett. I'm like, Matt Berry was in it? What the fuck?
Who did he play?
So he played the droid talking to him.
88? The droid?
Yeah.
That was like, you must hold forth your pangs and the
so
Tatooine with all due respect.
A huge actor. Cool. So they get these huge actors to play these little cameos.
Yeah, that's great.
Play this little shitty droid. It's like fantastic.
With all due respect, Master Fett,
I like, so he's like, oh, we really need a protocol droid.
Right.
Because C-3PO, they're lacking. Like,
yes, they need a protocol droid. But even, you know, in Return of the Jedi, his master got angry with his last protocol droid and disintegrated him. The droid.
They must be expensive if he can't, like,
we need to get a droid. You know, they're probably maybe few and far between on Tatooine. You should probably need them.
Like, you know,
expensive million
$100,000.
Yeah, expensive credit. Yeah,
our equivalency.
Yeah, USD, $100,000. I gotta get one of those. And you got, like, there's the, what's it called? There's, that droid that was talking that was voiced by him.
He looks similar to the torture droid. He had the same kind of cosmetics.
He's one of the torture droids. He's You got the one, you're a feisty little one, but you'll soon learn, the one that's talking to R2, that's EV99. But then next to it, where there's a gonk droid getting tortured upside down, that's the droid torturing him. He's burning his feet. If you watch that scene again, so 8D8. There's of course a figure of him. It's 8D8. Yeah.
So 8D8. So that was 8D8.
That's 8D8, and he's
he looked like the torturer. He had the same aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, they're similar to the other EV90-1 is the one that was talking to R2. You're a feisty little one, but you'll soon learn some respect. I'll show you a picture of him there. Of course, there's an he's a smelter droid.
Smelter droid.
Yeah. Here he is in the original movie.
There you go.
In Return of the Jedi,
you know. And now we saw him as Matt Chuck Berry.
Yeah, he's burning the what's it called? He's burning. He's singeing.
That's him.
Yeah, he's singeing the.
It's great that he's still kicking.
Yeah, because he wasn't on the barge. Yeah.
Oop. Asshole droid of the Jabba's palace aesthetic.
I don't know where EV99 went. Oh yeah, no EV99. So EV99 in The Mandalorian was the bartender at the cantina. If you don't remember. At the Star Wars Mos Eisley cantina in the episode where he meets that
moonlight at the cantina.
Yeah, he's there. I thought when I originally watched it, I just thought it was another droid of that type. From what I understand, though, in the behind the scenes, that it actually is EV99. How did he get there and become the bartender? Especially because it was originally no droids, and now the droid is a bartender.
What a suspect in that.
Yeah.
Lore there.
Yeah, well, I know.
Overall, Favreau, fantastic job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't make every little thing sync up perfectly. They're doing a very good job. Aesthetically, it looks great. It's engaging.
The casting's sharp.
Great. Everything looks great. It's a great blend of...
We're all looking forward to the next episode.
And absolutely, and that's, I think, the most important thing was that when that episode ended, I was like, that's it? I was like, I want more. Yeah, I want to keep it going. I could have watched for another 2 hours, you know?
Easy.
So I like the characters. I like Fennec Shand.
That's a positive check on the new content.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to more.
Which is important, you know, given that, like, you know, there's a lot of bad taste in the mouth.
Now, did you get to watch Ghostbusters?
Nope. And I'm very disappointed. There's nothing on the internet. I can't watch it. There's no...
Dude, just go take your wife.
Bro, there's no more... We're in COVID. There's no more... Shoot, like...
Showings.
There's... Where? Not in New Jersey. There was a 1 p.m.
Go to fucking Atrium.
On Staten Island, New York.
Lunch break.
I'll go there with Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. You want to mention that?
That's horrible. You haven't seen those buses.
I know it is. I know it is.
Just go on your lunch break.
I know.
Have
I really
your mom
have to
watch
see it.
The kiddo for 2 hours and just watch.
Get a.
You can't stream Ghostbusters. What's wrong?
No, I know.
You?
I want to watch it in theaters. I've just been. I'm busy.
I need to watch it again because
holiday season. You need to watch it again. Were you drunk?
We were drinking.
Should we even talk about it if you're sloshed, Sean? Are you going to spoiler me too?
It was fantastic.
Because I've been avoiding. So you're saying fantastic now. When I had first spoke to you about this,
I had a really. You
mentioned you were like, wow, it was a good send off, 6.5. So you were sloshed when you saw it, or
a little bit?
You were a little sloshed.
I was a little sloshed.
A little sloshed.
Half in the bag, not fully in the bag.
It's half in the bag.
It was good. It was done very well.
Okay.
They pay a lot of attention to detail.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not the same New York City machismo 80s Ghostbusters.
Well, that's the thing. The tone. It was obvious to me that the tone of this movie, you can't recreate that tone because you don't have the same actors. You don't have the same comedians. It's not 1984 no more. It's not new. They're not doing New York anymore. So
they're in the country.
That feel, tone, setting is gone. You have to do something else. And I always knew, you're going to put kids in it, you're going to get that Stranger Things feel.
It was a Ghostbusters Stranger Things.
And of course, that was what they were going to do. Yeah, honestly, it was the smart. It was the only choice that they had.
Easygoing lead, like Paul Rudd, very like nice.
Mellow, yeah. So he's Paul Rudd's the lead, you would say?
He's not the lead.
He's a teacher.
He's like...
He's the kid's teacher, right?
The lead adult.
The lead adult. The lead, that's not
the
a
girl
kid.
Was the star of the show.
Yeah, she's Egon's granddaughter. Yeah. Spoilers.
And they kind of just say how, like, Egon had this farm, but he was, like, an absentee guy. And apparently Winston paid, like, he owed all this money, and Winston was successful and, like, paid off.
Oh, he paid off the farm's debt?
So it's like...
At least they gave Winston some more characterization.
Didn't look like... He didn't have the, like, character to be a douchebag, like...
No.
Like, oh, good things get foreclosure. Like, Egon would not have things in foreclosure.
No, you would, right, because Egon is, but like, a competent,
he
diligent.
Kept reading and, like, getting deep into the ghosts and kind of just went crazy.
Oh, all right.
It's kind of what they
okay
portrayed.
At least they got, a, like, some logic.
And a spoiler percent, you knew the original guys were going to make an appearance.
Of course. We knew that they were all in it.
They show up at the very end in their garb.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that they were only in it for, like, a minute, right?
Yeah, they show up at the end in their garb. Just kind of like pay homage.
It's an homage.
They're not
to
really
them
in the story.
Did you miss us? No, they're not in the story. Yeah, which is the tough thing when we make these sequels so many years after the original, because
what was 40 years?
It's 40 years, right?
36, 30,
37, 38,
37 whatever
years. You know, so like we want Ghostbusters 3. Ghostbusters
happened in 1990.
Right.
It was,
well, that's it. You would have had to, I remember. Listen, I've been.
Why didn't they make one in 1990?
Bill Murray. Bill Murray's the reason. You know, they could never really agree on anything. He didn't want to even do the second one. And then when people would talk about the second one to him in interviews, he'd be like, "Well, yeah, technically there's a Ghostbusters too." Like, he never wanted to do it, and he didn't like what came out of it. And then he blamed, like, he was like, "Dude, focus too much on special effects. Same story." But he was never. He didn't want to do sequels. He didn't want to do it. He's the real reason that
couldn't
never
do it
really
without
happened.
Him.
And you can't do it without him because,
well,
to be fair, I mean, really, he holds that first movie. Like, he's the linchpin to that first movie, his comedics.
But Howard, it was just such a perfect cast.
Well, that's the blend. Of course, but you couldn't
Dan
even.
Dan Aykroyd's like lightheartedness.
Yes,
and, like,
he's the heart of the Ghostbusters. Bill Murray's the mouth. Egon's the brains. And Winston's
like
the sensibility.
Broad, like, oh.
And, oh, you mean Winston or Egon? Egon's the brain.
No, Winston's like the brawn.
He's the brawn. Yeah, well, he's definitely the brawn and like the
everyman. Let's get like
everyman.
A very strong black guy.
Well,
you know?
Especially when he breaks down the door in the second one to get them out of it.
You do see Janine in the movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
She kind of is a decent character. She like...
I seen her in like the trailer and stuff, you know. She's
and
in
the... you kind of hate like... Did she have a relationship with Egon? You don't really know.
Because they kind of did in the first movie. She's like, you know, I'm afraid you're going to die. And she like hugs him and stuff in the first movie. But then she goes on to...
You had the dogs.
The terror dogs. Yeah, yeah. I see them.
You
in
had
the
woman...
Zool?
Zool.
Or Gozer. Gozer.
Gozer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had Gozer. You had the dogs.
Yeah, I heard about all that. So I guess
mini,
I'm not getting spoiled seeing as how it's all been spoiled.
Yeah, the mini Stay Puffs, which are like really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Remarkable. And they're like doing little antics.
Yeah.
They're not really in the story as much as they're just...
So like, it's kind of a retread with Gozer then? That's the bad, big bad Gozer again?
I have to rewatch it. they're fighting a bunch of different things.
But man. I mean, like, they're fighting a bunch of different ghosts and whatnot. So, I mean, but so paying good homage to what it was,
but aesthetically,
it's not,
it was great.
Very, okay. Yeah, but the, yeah.
Yeah, the rig, the pings when they turn on. Like, the zing. Yeah.
You know, so Hasbro was doing the Hasbro. HasLab was doing the Proton Pack, and they fully funded it. I really wanted to do it because it was a fair price for it too, and it hit all the goals. So you got like you were getting everything. You were getting a beautiful stand for it.
It's probably heavy as fuck.
I hope it was. I was looking to see what's it made of. Metal. It was like a combination, I think, metal resin. So it was going to be a little heavy. But
what was the price point on that?
I think it was $500, which was not bad given that it hit all the extra goals.
That's reasonable.
But it doesn't come with the wand. The wand they do sell separately. But it came with the hose, which you attach to the wand. So it would have been almost $700 for it. But to be fair, if you were to buy the
beautiful piece. But
beautiful
like,
piece. It would look great.
I can't afford it.
I was contemplating it, and I was like, you know what? This will be worth $2,000.
Oh, one day. The resale
like
value.
The sales barge, you know, which is worth like $2,500 now. It's insane. But like
my cousin bought the HasLab.
What do you got?
The Mandalorian ship.
Oh, he did. So he
still hasn't gotten it.
No, well, COVID delayed it another 6 months. But it's they're starting to ship soon. I haven't seen anybody actually with it yet, though, in like any of Facebook.
And they came with some like exclusive figures that also are going to be.
Oh, for sure. It's coming with a Mandalorian with a soft goods cape. It's coming with a...
Those figures alone are going to be hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Elder Jawa will probably be a $250 figure. It's like the Yak face with the coin that came with the barge that's going for $250 to $350. You know, they're very expensive. You know,
you
just keep that
doing.
Thing sealed. Of course. No, I was going to back that, too, because that wasn't bad a price. That was $350. But the Proton Pack I really wanted to do, and then I looked, and then the time, it was over. I was like, it's over already? I thought I had another week. Because I was going to do it, you know.
So Magic came up with a similar thing. They call it Secret Lair.
Oh.
So they come out with these cards that they're only available to buy for 24 hours.
Right.
And then you can't buy them ever again. They'll never be reprinted.
I see.
And they're all, like, really expensive, cool foils. So I bought A few of them. The Mark Poole was a famous magic artist. I bought four. He did a lot of the alpha stuff.
Right, right, right.
Birds of Paradise, the Counterspell.
He's well known. Yeah, he's Mark a well known artist. So Mark Poole. Would you say he's the premier Magic the Gathering artist?
I'd say he's in the top five. So they did five cards. Like,
I definitely know his name
like
all the way back.
Five of his famous cards.
Okay, you say Counterspell,
Birds of Paradise. There was three other ones, like Howling Mind. There was two.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I bought it. It was like $50.
Nice.
Or tremendous.
Mm.
I did not buy the...
So these are just specialty figures, specialty cards
that... are only available but purchase for 24 hours.
Oh, cool. So are they... They're his artwork, but they're like
no,
a remake?
No, the same cards.
Same exact
remake
card.
Remake foils.
Does it have a different... What's it called? Oh, and they're foil.
They're foil. I bought, nice. You can buy non-foils are actually like $20.
I would go
like,
with the foil, yeah.
They're just reprints and they're
okay.
foil.
But they have a... I would assume
no,
a...
they have a...
What's differentiating a special symbol?
They have a wizard's kind of stamp.
Oh, like yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a star almost. Like a
yeah, yeah, yeah. The
star.
Wizard's foil stamp. Yeah.
So they have the stamp on it.
So, see, didn't they get rid of that for the foils in the regular era at one point? Because originally, when they started with foils for Magic, they had that stamp at the bottom, right?
I don't know. It's some promotional stamp on
okay,
it.
Okay, okay. And then they got rid of that stamp. Did they get rid of that stamp for foils, like, later on?
And the regular foils don't have it.
But the originals did, though. Like, when they started with foils back during Mercadia Masks. Because Mercadia Masks was the first set in Magic the Gathering to have... holographic foil.
Hers has had some foils, but I think they were promotional.
Those were promotional.
Those
They're not
fucking so expensive.
Yes, like MasterCore foil. Those were, that probably might be $1,000. Those were.
Treetop Village is.
Yeah, those
you
were
know,
all
you know what's the most
promos.
Expensive
or like
one?
The gym or the.
No, the most expensive foil goes for probably $2,000-$3,000.
Force of Will?
No, the Urza's was the Yawgmoth's Will.
Ooh, yeah, that was a hard one to find
that
at the time.
Card,
I remember that one.
When we were kids, it was like $300.
Yeah,
always. When we were kids, and this is
let me see what it's worth now.
Y'all go, look up Yawgmoth's Will foil. It's gonna be at least $1,000.
Yeah, those were hard to find then. I'm probably spelling it wrong. No. Yeah, about $950.
Okay.
$600. This one's bidding at, but it's gonna go up. This one's graded. Let me see.
They were probably $100 then. When we were
this
kids.
One's graded. BGS 9, $2,900. Yeah. Yeah, I remember this one. Yeah, this was a DCI.
What I don't like about the slabs.
Is a DCI. Neither do I. I don't like slabs, though.
DCI
promo.
That was the old one.
Yeah, that's old. Because that was... Were those judge promos or...
They were judge or tournaments.
Judge tournament promo. Although it might have been tournament promo, yeah. Because the judge promos are super expensive. Those were the Force of Wills, were judge promos. Meaning they only gave them out to judges in tournaments as like... Because a judge, you don't get paid. Most of them, anyway. So they were giving them out
as an incentive,
and don't listen. That's like pay because those cards were worth money.
But yeah, it's similar to Hasler or Magic has these like special prints. Where you can
don't
like...
get me into like the oh my god, MasterCore 1400 foil. Jeez, look at this. That's nice though.
Yeah, that's the little star.
That's the little star symbol I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. So like Sean said, Urza's, that was when they started with foils back in the 90s for Magic. Kind of, I guess, to keep up with Pokemon. Pokemon was doing it. So they started with the foils.
But back then...
Urza's, you couldn't get those in packs. Those were for specialty.
Back then, you could only get one foil rare per box.
That was... They started with that with masks.
Now foil rares
masks,
are like...
Dime a dozen, yeah. Then you get like a special foil. Isn't there like a special rare foil?
Well,
is it the next level?
Like,
legendary rare, right?
You look at Brainstorm, which was a common.
Oh,
mass.
Yeah.
Foil, $500.
The thing with that is that that's a card people want four of. So that jacks up the price because they take the supply gets sucked up. So
I
like,
haven't played. Before COVID, I was playing Paper Magic a lot at one point.
Right,
I was
right,
playing,
right. And you were just telling me that you're playing a lot of online. Oh, you're online Magic? You're playing
I play a lot of online Magic. Especially when I have downtime at work, I'll play for like an hour. You know?
Especially when I'm working, I play a lot of Magic.
But I mentioned I got a Pokemon Celebrations gift box for
yes.
a great Christmas.
Those guys, because I'm also in the Pokemon trading card game groups. I don't follow it too much because I'm not really into it right now.
So they reprinted a lot of famous cards
in the Celebration
Pikachu
set.
And the Red Cheeks say 2/5, so it's the 25th anniversary
cool.
of the card game. So they did a lot of famous reprints, including.
Yeah.
Birthday Pikachu was a reprint.
Oh, cool. Birthday Pikachu is certainly skyrocketing.
Charizard, you know, all the classics.
But are they identical? Because I know like
they're identical, except it has
the little symbol.
The
yeah.
Pikachu. So I have the original Birthday Pikachu.
It's great
which
that
is
they.
$100. This one's probably like $40.
Which original? Red Cheek or?
No, the Birthday Pikachu promo.
Are that $250 now we're going
for? Yeah,
it's
a couple $100.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The new reprint's about $40. But the cards, they have a. digital Pokemon trading card. Like, oh, use this code to... I'm like, I kind of have an itching to play.
Right.
I would have to play the tutorials because the game is so evolved from when I played it.
Of course.
I would have to do the stupid...
Yeah, because it's not... I mean, it's not the same game at all as it was.
We played a bare bones game.
Yeah, it's complete. I mean, they had to revamp it because the game was so flawed at the time.
It was easy and,
It was meant to not... It was never meant for serious competitive tournament play. So when we did play serious competitive tournament play of Pokemon, we did very well, but because the game was broken, it was almost luck based at the very very beginning, especially with just the first two sets, and then there was Prop 15, if you don't recall. So in tournaments you could only play 15 trainers.
You can't find Pokemon cards in retail. You can't.
Target. Oh no, I don't see them. I see Magic still.
It happened one day.
No, because the craze of the last year or so.
One day I'm in Target.
Which is
they
crazy.
Just got a shipment in. I didn't buy any.
So you told me this one, yeah.
There must have been 12 to 14 people
frothing at the mouth,
all at the section buying cards. There's grown women,
35
years old, on the phones with their boyfriends or husbands. Well, they got this package and that one. He's like, no, get this other one.
That's crazy.
So you see, then you have kids just stop, and they're only allowed 2 per customer.
Right. There was a maximum.
They got a shipment in, and there was literally 12, 14 people all gazing at these cards and buying. They probably sold out in half an hour.
That's crazy.
I see grown 40-year-old women on the phone with their husbands buying them.
Now that was
cards.
What was that, 6 months or 9 months ago when it was the craze was a little more peaked? I think it's kind of settled down a little bit.
Oh no, Celebrations. You can't find Pokemon Celebrations is a set.
No, for sure. I know they're heavily in demand though still because
GameStop got a shipment of it.
I can't find any original birthday Pikachus. Oh, here's one. Ooh, this is a slab, but this is in 3 days for birthday Pikachu PSA 9. I would what is an original PSA, original birthday Pikachu going for?
The demand
for
these, GameStop got a shipment in of Pokemon Celebration, right?
Right.
One per customer. I think retail is $50.
Mm.
One per customer. There was a line of about 40 people.
Wow.
So the whole line's not getting it.
Right.
They probably got maybe 30 pieces.
Oh, maybe they went down in price because they made the new one. Because look, here's one. Here's a birthday Pikachu original. This is 2000, year 2000. And it's $100 buy it now, and they were going for much more than that.
I paid $2.
They were going for much more than that. Maybe the celebration one dropped the price of the original.
Yeah, reprint always do that.
Yeah, but real collectors are gonna want the original. I mean, so
this is a good deal.
That's a good deal.
I think we might have bought it. I might have bought it at the peak. So I might have overpaid for it.
Eh. But I mean,
I'm happy to have it. It's nice.
Yeah, no, same here. I mean, I have two. I bought two of them. I bought them before the peak. Just it was coincident. Before COVID happened, I wanted to. I was like, you know what? I want to complete.
I have no.
My original run of the Pokemon promos.
I'm in Pokemon card groups.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not.
I don't
in them at all because
I gaze and. Yeah. I've noticed the prices have started to drop.
Yeah, I mean, the demand
blistering.
Has... Yeah, well, the demand was in a fever pitch when the...
I had COVID.
The Logan Paul...
Summer
like...
of 2020, Pokemon cards were actually on fire.
It was... people were frothing at the mouth ridiculously, because the Logan Paul first edition. Then COVID happens, and people were spending their money at home
on
collectibles.
Logan Paul, right? I can't stand him. I think he's a douchebag.
For sure.
But he does
He's selling his house, by the way.
He does cool shit. So he got... And they had all this uproar of people cursing him out.
Yeah.
So he bought 30 different Game Boy Colors of all different colors and ones.
I had the Atomic Purple one.
So he got 30 Game Boy Colors, all different colors, and he got rare limited editions.
Yeah.
So he probably spent $10,000 to $20,000 on all...
Chump change for him.
On... He got 30 Game Boy Colors, and then he put them in plexiglass, but he buried them in some kind of coolant, some kind of liquid gel. So they stay put.
Yeah.
And he made it as a display piece.
Cool.
And it's a beautiful display piece.
Sure, sure, sure.
Fucking 30 Game Boy Colors, a different color.
Tremendous.
Right. I would love to have that.
Oh, yeah. I love displays like that. Yeah.
How he did it was so that these machines will never work again because he
obviously
put it in this, gel.
Did people get pissed off
so
about that?
Oh, he's destroying all this priceless hardware. And it's the guy made a cool piece.
Yeah.
I can't stand him.
I
can't stand him as who he is and what he does.
No, neither can
I. But I love he likes the same shit we do, but he has the money to do it.
Yeah,
he's probably our age or maybe
he's
a younger.
A few years younger.
The Game Boy Color Pokemon. That's the era we grew up in. So
For sure.
He loves that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's cool seeing what money can do and living out nerd dreams.
Nerd fantasies. Hey, I get my nerd fantasies in. I don't know if I would put them in the gel and destroy them. I would definitely display, like, that's a cool display piece to put on the wall. Because I feel like,
and I was reading, like, some of the Game Boy Colors were like $1,000.
Oh yeah,
like super rare.
Yeah, like a lime green Game Boy Color or whatever. Atomic Purple was the most common. That was, in fact, I didn't have original Game Boy, nor did I have Game Boy Pocket. I only had Game Boy Color.
Atomic Purple. I had our friend Flop.
I got. It was. It would have been.
Switch just broke, unfortunately.
Christmas '98. I got Atomic Purple.
There was Atomic Purple, and there was this like dark purple blue one. There was the two.
True. Maybe is Atomic Purple the clear one?
It's clear purple.
Okay, so that I don't think I had that at first. I think I had the straight up purple one, which was the first Game Boy Color that they
made. Purple.
Yeah. It was the first Game Boy Color that they had produced.
No,
and I got it for Christmas that year with Game Boy with Pokemon
Blue.
Those
two were the launch. It was Atomic Purple and the bluish purple one.
Really?
I don't know what color. They all have a weird color name.
Let me see. Yeah, purple Game Boy Color. Because that was the first one that I had gotten. Because, again, I didn't have original Game Boy. I had...
I had Game Boy Pocket.
Did you? See, okay. I had Sega...
I didn't have the
Sega,
the old gray.
No, the big boy, no. That was a little bit before me, I think. But but I also had...
It came out in 89.
Exactly. But I had Sega... What's it called? What's the Sega Pocket game? I was talking about Game Gear? Sega Game Gear? Sean's too busy on his phone.
Game Gear was the... I had a Game Gear. It had enough games.
The
and
Sega
it was a
Game
battery,
Gear.
Battery
it sucked your batteries. It took 6 AAAs, and they were always dead in like 10 minutes.
I think it was 8.
It was a ridiculous amount. Yeah. Anytime
like,
you talk
I
about...
I couldn't afford batteries. They were expensive.
No, they're expensive at the time.
You needed like... $10 in batteries.
Every time
to
you
play
used
for
it.
Like 6 hours.
I remember that was a problem 10 years ago before like everything had lithium ion batteries. Like I remember,
and it came with a Sonic game, and that game was impossibly hard.
I played a lot of games for that Sega.
My favorite game I had for Game Gear was it was called Shinobi.
Oh yeah,
it was a famous ninja game, and it's a popular Sega franchise. It was awesome.
Yeah, you got clear. They call it clear purple or atomic purple, and then they're just calling it purple here. But that was the one I had. It was just a straight.
Yeah, I had
purple.
The atomic purple.
Atomic purple, I wanted. Oh, grape. They call it grape.
Grape. There you go.
Yeah, that was the one I had. But that was all
like,
that was out at the time.
They were such pop. I don't know why Nintendo doesn't make a Switch of these. You know, the demand they'd sell.
You mean like reissue Game Boy?
No, like make the Switch in those colors.
Oh yeah, I don't get why they don't
atomic.
People do customs. They customize and make atomic.
I customized mine.
Yeah,
it broke, unfortunately.
How did you break yours? Your Switch?
It fell. Whatever. Long story.
The console itself?
Yeah. Long story short, it broke.
Well, just re-get another console. I'm sure you're.
I can't fix it.
No, it's probably done. But you're sell it for scrap, and then you got your Joy-Con still. I'm sure. All you got to do is get another console.
No, I had the Switch Lite.
Oh,
really,
so it's all done. Jeez, that drop that broke on a drop. They're handheld items; they should really hold up. That sucks.
Well, I think when you mod it, it loses the integrity.
Oh, it was mod. It was modded.
I had Atomic Purple one.
Okay.
So I think when you mod it, like it doesn't have
maybe.
The same integrity. And
it doesn't turn on, or
doesn't turn on, doesn't charge.
That might be able to be fixed.
I spent some time to do some research.
You didn't open it up to try to see if like a ribbon cable was unhooked or something. Is that happens a lot? I'm in the electronics
clear,
business,
so you can look at it. It looks fine. Like
that happens to me a lot because I'm in the electronics business.
Something damaged,
and I get return PlayStation. PlayStation 4 Slims all the time returned. Oh, don't work. Like, and then I get it, and it's true. All right, I plug it in, it doesn't turn on. But then I open up, and almost always, this has happened, I would say 19 out of 20 times that this has happened, the ribbon cable for the power gets dislodged, and I just let it back in, and then it works. It works, you know. That's happened. On the
like
20th
the
time,
that,
the power supply is shot, but that's
like
less common.
Do you think like the mom that buys that for her son?
No, they're going to have no clue. They're going to just think it's broken. But, I mean, I don't blame people for not wanting to open it up. They just, it's not turning on, it's broken. But, because I had that happen recently where they had it for 3 months. Didn't work. Don't work. You know, okay, well, you've had this, you know, since September
16th. So let's move forward to the next blockbuster. Blockbuster. I mean, this is the mega movie of 2021.
Oh, this is it.
Spider-Man. No Way Home is.
No, there's no place like home.
Did you watch it?
No.
Jesus.
You can't get it on the internet, Sean. I can't get to these places.
You gotta go to a movie theater or don't watch
it. So I hear mostly good reviews, and I see some people that were like, if you think that movie was good, it's an abortion. And I'm
who's saying this?
I don't know, man.
Some idiot friend of yours?
No, where did I hear that? I heard it from more than one. It sounds like
an idiot friend of yours.
I only consider negative commentary when I hear it more than once from a separate source. Didn't Jeremy say he walked out on it? Our friend Jeremy, the cast.
I think that's the only person I know.
A couple more I heard, but I walked out on it. Like, but then you didn't finish the movie. He did that I was like, and you walk out of every movie. I don't know why you go spend $20 on a movie just to walk out.
I saw one movie with him. And it was,
Independence Day?
It was Civil War.
Oh, okay. Did he walk out of that too?
And like, War Machine was going to die. And he was like cheering. And the whole movie theater was staring at him.
Oh, yeah. He's so weird with movies. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, he's going to die. And he's screaming and like. Making a scene in the movie, and I'm hysterically laughing because it's just so obnoxious. Because
it's obnoxious, and like people pay good money.
His obnoxiousness.
Yeah, yeah, you're like rallying him up.
Is like gassing.
Yeah, yeah, they all pay good money. They're all like Marvel neckbeard fans that really, really want to see. But you know, this is like they're making their year right.
Yeah,
now.
He's gonna die. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, yeah, I was there for that one too. You guys were not sitting right next to us, I think.
Great movie. William Dafoe really kills it.
He's back! So William Dafoe's back and all the other Spider-Men's back, right?
So, yeah.
This is spoilers.
Tobey Maguire.
Andrew Garfield. And new kid.
And then you have the older Jamie Foxx, you know.
He's in it? Jamie Foxx? Oh, he was horrible in that one.
Dr. Octopus, great.
Oh, I saw a clip of that. And I was like, oh, man, they brought back Alfred Molina? That's great. He was the best part of Spider-Man 2.
He was phenomenal.
He's great. He's a fantastic actor.
The original Spider-Man villains from the first were like
the first three, yeah.
Because you got Dafoe and Doc Ock.
Okay.
They had the Sandman guy, but he sucks.
Nah, nobody cared about him. Yeah, he's. And then also, what were they going to bring back? Eric Foreman to be?
Yeah, he didn't.
They didn't do that. Yeah, they didn't make him bring him back. Yeah, that's all you need. I would have been happy with just Doc Ock, you know. But they brought back William Dafoe too.
Unbelievable. How great.
So is this like some sort of time shifting parallel?
Yeah, like Doctor Strange. And
yeah. Okay. So Doctor Strange in the movie. Yeah.
So he like fucks up this.
Now
like,
I really want to see it. It sounds.
He fucks up this like interdimensional
time
spell
warp.
Thing,
yeah.
And like these other Spider-Man universes collide.
Parallel divergent universe, which is a good like you know because what can you do? We've seen so do something a little different.
It
which,
was cool.
Yeah.
Overall,
I walked out.
I'll give it. 8.5 out of 10.
That's a good rating, Sean. So was that good?
I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you see Away From Home?
I saw all of them.
You saw the second one.
Away From Home, I surprisingly was stuck in Florida. My flight got canceled because it was a storm.
Yeah.
And I went with my mother. We went to like a wedding. We were supposed to go home. We were stuck. So I'm staying in like an airport hotel.
Oh, man.
Like Florida, like a dumpy airport hotel. And I'd spend the night. I'm with my mother and I'm like, I got to like do something.
You bought it?
No. So there was
you went to the theater?
There was a movie theater like 3 blocks from my shitty airport hotel. I'm like, fuck it. I'll just go see Spider-Man 2.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I went by myself, like 3 in the afternoon in the middle of nowhere, Florida. And like, and I watched it.
Nice.
And it was great.
Nice, nice. It was great, you say?
Well,
I saw a piece of the end.
It's a story I remember.
And it was
I'm
great.
Stuck in Florida. Yeah, yeah.
It was the best part of me getting stuck in Florida at the dumpy airport.
So but because
I saw the, I think I seen clips of the end of it when with what's his name? Who's the bad guy? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mysterio.
He plays Mysterio. Yeah. How'd you like him as a not to go over this movie that's probably 2.5 years old now, but
Spider-Man Away From Home was the best Marvel movie I've seen since Avengers.
Away From Home or No Way Home?
No Way Home.
This most recent one is the best one. So you said since the original Avengers?
Since the Avengers Thanos arc. A lot of
mean Endgame. Or the one, which is the first, there's so many of them. Which is the first one? Because there's, Endgame is the final one.
No, Infinity War. Infinity
War is when Thanos divides.
That's the best one, because you see Thanos.
The second
to
last
win,
one is the best
I'm
one.
Like, I would vote for Thanos if he was running for
Vote
office.
For Thanos. I would, he's
trying to put.
We're going to eliminate half, there's too many people, we need to eliminate half the people.
If we eliminate half the people now, the world would be saved.
It would be great. Yeah, it would be saved until it doubles up again, I guess. Until the population doubles up again.
Anyway, Spider-Man, 2 thumbs up.
So you got some recommendations here. What are you giving Ghostbusters Afterlife?
I got to rewatch it, but I'd say 7.5.
All right. You gave it, because you were like, you know, it's pretty good. Homage to the original.
I peed, I'm crushing beers. I honestly don't remember the ending. Really.
Oh my God. I'm going to say, how did it end? But I mean, I think we all know how it ends. They probably fight Gozer and the original guys show up, right?
Pretty much.
For 2 minutes. I knew there was
blurriness at the end. I was pretty drunk.
I got sloshed. We were drinking too much at the Rainforest Cafe. Was that
we only had one beer there. Like, this place is creepy. And it was just like...
Creepy? I've ate at that exact it's Rainforest Cafe.
It's kind of
a kid. Yeah, I got kids.
Grown adults, no kids drinking there. It's just...
Sir, why are you here? And I'm trying to pick up some kids.
I'm drinking on like a, you know, a fucking peacock chair.
Yeah, a chair with that's shaped like a peacock. Yeah.
So we were like, all right, we went to Cheesecake Factory.
Around the other side.
Let's
yeah.
just go to a normal venue like a more for people our age. And we're fancy. Not stared at.
Right.
Why are these group of...
Why are these group 30 of 30-something...
30-year-old men drinking at Rainforest Cafe?
Well, I can't have a nice fancy peacock cocktail.
Yeah, here's my monkey cup.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I come for the commemorative monkey cup that I get to take home.
So now, last of the big releases, The Matrix.
The Matrix Awakens, starring...
So I saw the first 45 minutes.
And starring Jake Gyllenhaal slash... Yeah, I saw... I didn't finish it yet.
So not to be judgmental or anything, I'm just making a statement that the directors have became transgender.
And now we're canceled. Yeah. And now Retrocade's canceled.
I'm just saying, are you aware of this?
I'm very aware of it, yes. Thank you.
It's interesting that they're both brothers.
I found that.
Have changed their genders.
Interesting when the second one came out as
you
transgender.
You see one, both is
yeah,
it's a rare.
When that happened, it was like 5 years ago, and I was like, both of them? And I'm like, all right.
So I don't know the specifics.
Lana and they were Larry. It used to be Larry and whatever Wachowski, but now it's Lana and Linda Wachowski.
You watched half the movie.
No, I was just I'm almost at the end.
So you notice there's like a new Morpheus.
Yes.
So apparently Lawrence Fishburne's like very conservative, and he made some comment against transgenders or something. So
when I first watched it, I had mentioned that to my wife, and she was like, "Are you sure?" And we tried to look that up because I had heard that too. I don't know if I heard it from you.
There's rumors that
I could not.
There was some rift between Lawrence Fishburne and the directors, and they recasted him because they didn't like him anymore.
It's totally possible, but I could not find anything concrete
Keanu's
on the internet
such a
about
golden
that.
Boy that he didn't want to get involved.
Oh yeah,
he wanted Lawrence there, but he's like,
yeah, no,
I can't. I'm beloved.
I'm beloved. I still need my paycheck too.
I can't like. Opinion on make my opinion on this because
I wouldn't.
So he just stood clear of that situation.
Well, not that I give it legitimately give a shit anyway. But the thing is that yeah, I couldn't find anything. But you're probably right. That probably is what happened because you look at this new. Why would they recast him? They're bringing back the other two. It's almost like having Star Wars and then not bringing back like
Han Solo's
right,
gone.
Right.
Let's put in
not Harrison Ford or you know maybe something like if Alec Guinness was still alive and willing to be come back. We're recasting Alec Guinness, you know, or in this case Ewan McGregor. Of course, you wouldn't do that. You would bring back the original character and make
having
it work
a new
somehow.
Morpheus definitely hurt the movie. I think.
Yeah,
he's a very iconic character. And yeah, you don't like his views and you're going to change him? Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the story is, like I'm calling it The Matrix Awakens because like the first half of that movie is like, you're just retreading the first one. Like especially
aren't like video game designers or some shit?
Yes, okay, so spoiler alert. Yeah, Neo is now back in The Matrix as a video game designer, but it's very much referential and almost fourth wall breaking to the real world what's going on because... He is a top-tier video game programmer, video game creator, and he created a game called The Matrix, of which there was a trilogy of games. And now the parent company, Warner Brothers, this is all said in the movie, by the way, like at you, at the screen. So it's completely like, it's almost like Lana
was
Wachowski.
Is there like a Burger King in the background?
Yo, it's so on the nose. And so, like, but it's almost as if Lana and the Wachowski sisters didn't want to do this and that they were almost pushed in by the studio because that's what they say in the script. They say, well, we've made the Matrix trilogy and
so
we love that.
It's almost a parody within itself.
Oh, I couldn't believe my ears. I was like, is this really what's going on? I was like, are they telling me something or are they just doing a new, a different thing because they ran out of ideas? Like, gonna world within world, but we'll relate it to what really went on in the real world. But like, it's almost fourth wall breaking because they're talking about the Matrix trilogy, and then how well we didn't want to do a fourth Matrix, but Warner Brothers said they're gonna go, and they say use Warner Brothers, not even a fake name, our parent company Warner Brothers, wink wink. Like they don't even use
Matrix One was like the movie of like the 1990, like the Y2K era, you know.
Absolutely, in 1999, and that was probably bigger than.
It probably was the biggest movie.
Bigger than The Phantom Menace. I don't know if it made more money than The Phantom
Menace.
Those
were the two like
massive blockbusters of that.
The Y2K for sure. Era, 2000, it was the Matrix.
I mean, like,
it was like the edgy again, hacker. And...
Of course, the edgy hacker, and then don't forget Bullet Time, the slowdown.
As far as you watch it now, you're like, man, whatever.
It's so quaint.
But back
yeah,
then,
it does,
you're like,
but
cool.
Back then, it was like, whoa, you'd never seen shit like that. And now it's true. It has aged, for sure. Well, it does this one. I mean, there's cool visuals in this movie, for sure. But and like they do things a little differently, but like break like cutting edge almost for like a generation. The Matrix in 1999 was probably like Star Wars was in 1977 with the new
but the trilogy,
story and
the
effects.
Is,
no, they of course the trilogy of Matrix does not nearly live up to what Star Wars did.
It flies off the rails.
Absolutely, by the second one. Listen, the second one is got a lot of action and is energetic, but the storyline is not as good. And then by the third one, it's just garbage.
I remember the third one.
Oh, man. I left that third one. I was like, whoa, they ruined that trilogy. It was clear.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I was,
and remember, they came out right after each other. 2003, 2004.
I was in high school and we had a half day.
I watched it at the movie theater in Travis, which is now in LA Fitness.
I went to the Atrium.
Oh, did you?
The
third one, anyway, we watched
it. I had a half day from school. So we're like, oh, let's go watch The Matrix. And we're like hanging out with the guys. I mean, I think it was like John Lombardi and some people.
Sure.
And we had nothing to do. Like, oh, let's go watch The Matrix.
Right.
And we watched it. And we're like, this movie sucks.
The third one, sure.
And I think we even like smoked weed. And
sure.
We're like, I was high and I still thought
still
it sucked.
No, the third one was ass. Nobody liked the way that third one. It was the tone.
Very confusing. Like,
convoluted. Needlessly convoluted. This one's convoluted too. Of course. Listen, when you're watching a Matrix movie, they're all kind of convoluted. But and I knew that going into this Matrix Awakens, or what's the real one? Resurrections. I knew, like, all right, got to pay attention because they're going to say some convoluted shit, which not that bad. You just pay attention. It's fine. But the third one's needlessly convoluted and unsatisfying. And the tone is drab. It's dull and it sucks. You know, the third one just sucks. The Matrix one, you're in it the whole time. It's exciting. It's intense through and through. The new ideas are catching you. The look of it, the effects were great. You know, not that effects matter anymore. Even though there's good effects in this new movie. Not that again anyone gives a shit about that. Anybody with a fucking PC
movie,
can do good
look
effects.
Look at like the Venom movies. They're shit.
Oh yeah,
they're all
sure.
Special effects.
Oh well, that's another thing. Too much special effects is just.
But
ass.
They said the Chinese love it.
The Chinese love it. Yeah, China loves
they don't
big
like,
effects
they just
movies.
Like
look
effects.
At them. They continue to make Transformers movies not because America likes them, but because the Chinese market was frothing at the mouth over them. They loved these Transformers movies, and we just like. I mean, they made money here, but they made real money there. You know, that's
well,
why those movies continue to be made.
A lot of these studios are tiptoeing now because if they do any message China doesn't like, they're banned, not playing it.
Look at Ghostbusters. See, ghosts are banned in China because anything spiritual of the spirit world is not. They banned those, so you couldn't even get Ghostbusters 2016.
Eternals banned from China.
Turtles too?
No, Eternals. I didn't watch. I heard it was trash.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, they have like a gay kissing scene.
Anything gay is out the window. Anything spiritual is out the window. Anything like government oppression with an uprising is also banned.
The Joker, they couldn't watch.
Joker, you can. Yeah.
Well, especially the Joker, like. How many people in China live that life?
Oh, yeah.
Just
that
misery and
that
like
miserable.
Just downtrodden, overwhelmed by society.
I would assume in any country, but yeah, probably China has a lot of
but
them
But they're
too.
Like, we don't want all these fucking guys.
Well, that's
up.
Like Squid Game, even though we talked about Squid Game in
the last episode.
But Squid Game, didn't somebody pirate it or smuggle it?
North Korea.
In North Korea? And did they execute them, I heard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He smuggled Squid Game from South Korea to North Korea, and they executed him. Yeah.
See, that's where you can actually have a thriving video store, is in North Korea.
You're not going to be streaming any Netflix.
Bro, you sell DVDs in China?
Oh, you'll
in
make
North Korea, you can have a thriving video
you'll
store.
You'll make a thriving VHS.
There's no streaming there.
No, but it's also a communist country, so you're not going to be... Your video store is going to be owned by Pyongyang, so...
Listen, a glorious leader.
Hail the glorious regime.
You got to support dictators. You're a dying breed. Do what you got to do.
We love our good dictators around here. That's for sure. But to finish up The Matrix, I mean, it really does feel like a rehash, at least. The referential thing was just comedy to me. I was like, wow, like they're really just saying that right now. We didn't want to make a Matrix 4, but they're saying they're the video game in the movie. But we're thinking The Matrix 4. That's what I'm watching. I'm watching The Matrix 4. And Warner Brothers was going to do it with or without us. So we figured Mr. Anderson, also known as Keanu Reeves, that you better be in it. And we're going to make it. And, like, that's literally how, like, the movie kind of starts. And it's like, oh, my God. And then, long story short, because he dies in the last one. But he didn't die. Somehow, the robots kept him alive. and that's how he's back. And it's actually 60 years in the future, so the original Morpheus would be dead. But aha, this Morpheus is a program. He's not even a real person. That's why he's young and not actually Lawrence Fishburne. And then they bring back Carrie Ann Moss as Trinity, and she's in the Matrix, and she's older. But she inserted herself back into the Matrix, and then they're going to get her out, blah, 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 blah. And that's pretty much the movie.
I saw the first 40 minutes. I had no interest in watching
it. It's not horrible, but it's not good. I'll go ahead and say this. I like it better than the third one.
Okay. I mean, that's not saying much.
That's not saying much at all. It's not good. It's all, like that when remember the first one where he fights Morpheus in the dojo?
Oh, fantastic.
They redo that scene, and it's just like,
what was the
I'm like watching it. I'm like, we done did this in 1999.
What was the guy with the glasses? The agent.
Agent Smith. He's kind of in it in flashback form, and then they have a new agent.
He was
a great
villain.
Of course, Hugo Weaving. That he's a fantastic actor too. Of course, he's what's it called in what are those movies with the elves?
He's
Aragorn. He's not Legolas. I don't fucking remember his name. He's the father.
He's
the senior elf. He's the father of what's her name?
I gotta look up his name.
He's the father of the guy from Aerosmith's daughter. I don't remember any of these names right now. He's the father of the Aerosmith guy's daughter's wife's husband. Hugo Weaving. And he's Aragorn, not Aragorn.
Wow, he was born in Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
He's probably South. Is he South African?
Born in Nigeria.
Nairobi, Kenya. What was his character's name, Sean, in The Lord of the Rings?
I'm looking it up.
Oh, my God. Because, you might be us.
And I'm a big Lord of the Rings guy. I don't know why it's not ringing a bell.
He plays
Elrond, that's it. That's a big name.
How didn't you get that?
And he was in the Hobbit movies as well.
That's right.
And he's going to be in the Amazon Lord of the Rings production.
Oh, is he? Wow, they're really just putting him in everything.
Well, he's like the biggest elf of the elves.
Well, he is the top.
He's the leader. He was the top elf.
Yeah, he was King Elf, yeah. And
it's crazy he was born in Nigeria. You wouldn't think he was Nigerian.
There's
white South Africans. I haven't seen white Nigerians. But.
Well, he's probably, he seems like, I don't think he lived in Nigeria his whole life, did he?
He probably just grew up there. Probably like colonizing this,
They were colonizers and had an emerald mine there, like Elon Musk.
Yeah. Abadan, which is modern Nigeria. So the country doesn't even exist anymore. So it was definitely a colonizer.
It no longer exists.
It was definitely like, Rhodesia, for example, which was like a diamond country.
Yeah.
So it was probably one of those.
Sure. That makes sense.
Nigerians probably kicked them out and up revolted.
Yeah.
As colonizers don't usually last.
No, they don't last forever. It's usually plight
that follows. They had a good run,
unfortunately. The colonizers and the dictators, they're dying breeds, unfortunately.
Man. Sad times.
Sad times we have here. But I guess that's all the content until like Book of Boba Fett more episodes come out. I mean, we kind of hit. I have to actually watch the two of these movies.
The
I really want to watch them. And I'll give my opinion on
them.
Next
big blockbuster is Batman.
Yes, which I saw the full trailer
of. That comes
out
in March.
Phil
won't see it in theaters either, so don't worry.
Well, as long as it's direct to.
It's not streaming, so you need to get your ass to the theater.
Not interested. Just stream it in front of my face. No, I want to go to the movies. I do. I want to go back to the movies.
Batman's a theatrical experience.
I would have wanted. I wanted to see. Well, first of all,
Ghostbusters. I'm disappointed because it's part of who you are.
Well, of course, I'm a big Ghostbusters fan all the way through. But problem was that I had a horrible case of COVID when all these guys went and saw it. So I was sick.
We actually had your ticket purchased.
I bought the ticket too. Yeah. So it's not like I was
you
ready.
You did have COVID during the. I'll give you that.
Well, what happened was that I was still testing positive 3 days before, and I was like, but I felt fine. But like, I was like, well, I. can't really go to this movie, right? You know, like,
nah,
I had to give myself a little time.
But you could have
at that point, I felt fine, though.
A Sunday afternoon to go with your wife.
It was busy season after that, man. Because that was Thanksgiving weekend or the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then it was just
November.
No, yeah, and then it was just busy season since. You know, I've had no chance of freedom. You know, it's even been tough to get a podcast in. But luckily, we're doing it before the New Year's. It's really the New Year's episode. New Year's in a few minutes.
Christmas. It's time the New Year's. Is whizzing by.
Yeah, time is whizzing by is right. As we flow through this world, but I guess the next episode will to mention Batman one more time. I saw the full trailer, and I mean, it looks good.
It's edgy, it's different.
Edgy and different. Catwoman's in it. She seems to be very prominent. But
the Riddler's the main villain. But
okay, was he shown at all in the trailers? I don't recall because I was looking for a villain.
No, the trailer, they show like them arresting him in like a diner or something in the beginning of the trailer. I'm interesting. Pretty sure.
I definitely want to see the Riddler again, actually, because the last time we got to see him, Jim Carrey did him, and that's.
I mean, Jim Carrey's a good Riddler. I think his.
I want to see him more.
I think how they made him look was terrible. He's wearing pajamas, that dyed red hair,
spandex outfit, like
he
ridiculous.
He looked like a moron, but. Yeah.
I mean, that's a very Joel Schumacher 90s look. I do want to see a more serious Riddler because that can be a maniacal, crazy, intelligent villain for Batman that you could do a lot with.
This Riddler looks on point.
Okay,
looks
I like
really
the sound
cool.
Of that.
Really
you just
really
say Penguin?
Penguin.
They're
Colin
bringing
Farrell.
Back Oswald Cobblepot.
Colin Farrell.
Oh, I did hear that. He's in it for sure.
He's wearing a ton of makeup and shit. Because he's like a good-looking guy, the Penguin's like.
But that's not a hideous freak. You know what I was watching? So I was playing Batman Returns on SNES the other day with my kid, and you know what? Like they
do these games are so hard.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love those games though. I'm just messing around with it. But they have like a prologue as you start the game, and it says 33 years ago, and it shows the Penguin getting like dumped like he did in the Batman Returns. He gets dumped in like the river or whatever, and I'm like 33. I was like, the Penguin in that movie is only 33? Ugh! He looks like 80. He looks like
he's 75.
Yeah, I know.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald Cobblepot. I was like, oh man, that's horrible. He's a
so
young man.
Danny DeVito's character is 33 years old.
That's the thing. And I'm like, well, no way Danny DeVito was only 33 in 1992, I think. And I'm like, how old was he?
Man, but, Michelle Pfeiffer was a hot Catwoman.
Sure, yeah.
So was Anne Hathaway. Man.
Sure, oh, sure. She played, when I heard Anne Hathaway was playing.
We saw that with Mikey at Liberty Science Center.
I did. I seen it at the atrium, I think. I missed it you guys all went to. No, I missed it. Yeah, I didn't get to
I remember vividly going with Mikey.
Oh, for sure. Mikey and you guys went. I missed the Liberty Science Center. I think Imodio or somebody.
Imodio was there.
Yeah, because what happened was that was a summer, and then I seen everybody right after that either in Miller's backyard, friend of ours backyard, or at the block party that they used to have, and we were talking about it.
We went out to like some beers or somewhere. I don't remember.
But like a week or so later I met up with you guys and I was like, how was it seeing it at the Super IMAX? And I remember Imodio being like, it was all right. It was a little like much. Like it was.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, yeah. Because I saw it.
That's the last time I saw him.
I either saw it. I think I saw it at the Atrium or maybe Stadium 16. But that was. I remember you guys all see it at the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey where they have this gigantic real IMAX. That's like the original IMAX where it's a full giant dome. I haven't been there since I was a little kid. How did that look?
Because
that's
tremendous.
That's also 9 years ago now, right?
I haven't been there since, but.
I haven't been there for probably 25 years.
It was awesome.
That's great. I remember when that movie was coming out and they said Anne Hathaway was going to be Catwoman. I was like, no way. She's not going to be Catwoman. She, you know, but she actually played it well.
She's great.
Yeah, I liked her.
Tom Hardy was a good Bane, too.
He was a great Bane. Yeah. No, that movie was good. I mean, I guess the one before it was better.
The one before it is the peak of superhero movies ever. Heath Ledger's Joker will never be tough.
He died for that role, Sean. Died for our sins, yeah.
That role, like, that made.
Would you say any of the Marvel ones are better than Dark Knight?
Dark Knight's the best.
Of all the superhero movies. I guess it has to be. Any better than
I watched in theaters like two or three times how good it was.
I remember that summer. I watched it. I watched it once
it
in
was
the
was Tompkinsville era.
Yeah, it was. It was. We were all hanging out in Tompkinsville in Staten Island. Had a little apartment there. And I remember watching it at the atrium. I remember like kicking the door open the side of the – because it was a packed house. And I was like, oh, I'm not waiting to get out of this. Like when the movie ended to get out of it. Like, you know, it was so crowded because it was a full house. And I remember like kicking open like the emergency door to get out the side of the building after that movie. 2008. Yeah, summer 2008. So that goes back
I remember being like Windsor. And we were like trying to see Borat, and
That's 2006.
And we like snuck in and like kicked the back door open.
Very nice. Yeah.
And like disrupted the movie, sold out. Like security's running our way. And we like fled.
Freeze. Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah. I saw another one I saw at the Atrium was to the. And I keep mentioning the Atrium because that's
the last movie.
The Staten Island theater that Pete Davidson just brought Kim Kardashian to, which is like.
They just did it for attention. Thing. Just because.
Oh, of course. It's dumb. Such publicity.
Everyone could stare at us.
It's so funny because when he brought Pete Davidson, were we talking about any of this on the podcast? It's kind of news, but Pete Davidson, the you know comedian from SNL that lives.
Feels like the celebrity gossip.
Though. I don't give that many shits at all. I can't, Staten Island gossip is more interesting. But he brought her to local pizzeria restaurant Campania, and then people started making memes that they would be going to all these local Staten Island haunts.
Like Top Tomato
one, and wherever else. And but then the next one that they made was the Atrium, and then they actually went there. You know, it was so
all
comical.
Just for like
PR stunt. Yeah, I mean, like ridiculous. Like he would take her to the go to the Atrium. It's not even like that's the least fancy of all the stuff.
Apparently, like 200 kids are all outside
with their cameras. It was insane.
Apparently,
house,
it was
yeah.
like a shit show. Like
oh, it had to be.
Cars
yeah,
and security no. everywhere.
Yeah, it must have been a circus because she has a full fleet of security and you know crazy. And what? And because they're in a theater, so that means if anyone sees them going in, you got 2 hours to tell everyone you know and be like, Kim Kardashian's at the Atrium.
And if you're a 17-year-old, that's
oh
like
my god, yeah,
your peak interest.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Celebrity bullshit.
Celebrity
All
bullshit
right.
locally, yeah. And they chose the Atrium. I did like that they actually chose the Atrium as opposed to like one of the other corporate owned ones because that's the last locally owned
independent.
One. As independent
I'm sure
theater.
It was good
the
buzz
area.
For them. They made some
probably
shows.
Had been huge buzz for them, sure. And then they ate at
I think they were hurting at COVID.
Heavily hurting. He was in the paper a lot. The owner being like, I'm almost at the end here, you know. And that's like a institution in Staten Island. List.
I do appreciate it's independent theater.
Absolutely, it's not corporate. Other you know everywhere else in the state.
I saw Spider-Man at Stadium.
Which is corporate. That's
it's a Regal now.
It's a Regal now.
Yeah,
and then
AMC
the other one
the
is
mall,
AMC.
And then the other one's a Regal in the South
yeah,
Shore.
So.
They're opening Alamo.
And Alamo Draft. Is that still going?
They're still building it.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're dragging the
hills. Alamo's tremendous. I've been the one in Brooklyn.
It's sure, you're right. Alamo Draft House. Is that the best one out of all of them? Better than AMC?
Yeah, it looks like the 70s. It's really cool.
Cool. I like that style.
I definitely recommend going to Alamo.
Yeah, if you're not going to independent theater,
there's
you can
I pick in the city, but it's like. $100 to all the fucking movies.
Oh my god, go to that! I was going to the movies a bit in the city with my wife a few years ago because we would go to like Central Park. We were going to the AMC right across the street from Lincoln Center, and we just saw a few movies there. We saw It there. It was a completely
was good.
Empty
the
house.
Second one was shit.
I didn't see the second part. I saw the first part.
First part was good.
Yeah, first part was
second
good.
Second one sucked.
I'm happy I didn't see the second part. But the first one is better. The first part is better.
I didn't see either in the theaters. I saw it on
oh, that's fine.
HBO.
You don't have to see those in theaters, yeah.
I'm not like a movie theater guy, but I see the classic, the essentials. You don't even see shit, bro. I don't
well,
know.
That's just because of the, like, it's difficult. Again, I tried to see Afterlife a number of times on the weekend, and there was one showing each day, and I'm like, 1 p.m., I can't. Like, you don't have a 9 p.m., so, like you know what I mean? 1 p.m., I'm clogged. It's one showing in New Jersey, like, you know, so I couldn't do anything. I wanted to see it. No streaming on the internet. So at least I was able to see the Matrix.
I'm
you know,
glad they're cutting
Awakens.
The pirating's cut off.
The pirating's like cut off if you're just doing in theater. Yeah, you can't pirate, like if you know, like Afterlife. Like there's no like you know torrents of that. I don't think or anything like that. So
well,
you have to
the
see them.
Torrents got shut down by the feds.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure you could find your way around that. But no, it's true. I want to contribute. I want to see these movies. I want to, you know what I mean? I do want to see them. And I was saying, well, listen, I'm the home, you know, the movie experience is not dead yet.
I enjoy eating a little popcorn.
The whole, you have to look at it now because a lot of, you know, a year or so ago, like, why would I even go to a
like,
theater?
It'd be nice taking a kid to see some kid movie.
Yeah, it's an event. It's an experience. And now,
take
listen.
Take see, like, Elmo's Big Adventure
I understand.
You know?
Exactly. I understand. I mean, my kid watched, Book of Boba Fett last night and sat through the whole thing. I was great, you know. And then, you know, Boba Fett, he knows Boba Fett, you know, in the hit the helmet, you know. So that was, I mean, so, but again, I understand why families, oh, it's tough and expensive, you know, to go to the theater. But also, like, you know, listen, once in a while, it's an experience.
It's like going to a baseball game.
Right. Which also costs you fucking hundreds of dollars. Or Disney World, which will cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, Disney World's another animal.
Oh, man. I'm going there soon, and it's the prices are The prices are astronomical.
Oh, that shirt's gonna be off your back real soon.
Oh, I'm gonna sell this on eBay. We're doing a Retrocade sell off.
You actually have to work at Disney to pay off half your trip.
That's it. Yeah, you have to actually instead of sleeping there.
Hey,
you
get back to the kitchen.
Yeah,
washing the dishes.
Yeah, exactly. You have to sweep up at the end of the night. You know, to cover the rest of the costs. Yeah, no, it's for your prices are insanity.
Did you book any of the Star Wars experiences?
Yeah, thank God. I got the Ogre's Cantina. I was able to book that. Yeah, I was able to book the Ogre's Cantina. So I'll be...
There's a lot of times you can't even get in there.
Well, I was in Disneyland in 2019. Couldn't get in the cantina. Completely booked up.
Oh, you're
up.
Going to Disneyland.
No, I'm going to Disney World this time. But in 2019, in California, we went to Disneyland one day. And
are you getting a lightsaber?
No, not paying $300 for no lightsaber.
What about the Droid Factory?
I would get the Salacious Crumb maybe. But even that's like
gone,
$90.
Bro. You missed it.
They don't have that anymore? I'll find out.
Disney's all limited, bro.
It's true. It's limited edition. Well, we'll see what kind of toys they got. Listen, I'm in for this a little too much as it is with the, you know.
Well, you already spent so much. You might as well.
Might as well spend another $200, $300. Nah, I don't need, like, the collectible bullshits usually. So, like, I just, the experience.
You don't need the collectible bullshit. You gotta look at this guy's house.
Well, I mean, listen.
I beg to differ.
Well, listen, when it comes to original stuff, but I don't like you know, it's like selling you this overpriced souvenir. Like, I don't really need that. But the experience to do it, like,
a souvenir cup.
Yeah, exactly.
$29.99. Free refill.
$49.99, maybe.
You get a free refill, bro.
Every drink in the cantina starts at like $24. And their drinks, this is weird, their drinks on tap. So they're not mixed in front of you. They're just like, what do you want? The fuzzy tauntaun, which is a drink, by the way.
On tap, it's shit.
That's
they're
weird.
Like
yeah. They're pre-made mixed drinks. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, I want like a little spectacle for
yeah,
like, $30 drink.
Yeah, if I'm going to pay $30 for this.
I want
fuzzy...
dry ice. I want like.
They do have a dry ice. Or they, you know what they have in the fuzzy tauntaun? They have this stuff that numbs your mouth. It's I don't know. Maybe you're a drink expert, Sean. You ever hear of it?
Beer expert.
You're not
wasn't a
mixologist where you like there's a some sort of like root or something that numbs your mouth for a while, tingles your mouth, kind of like a pop rock. And
well,
that's,
everyone always said the butter beer in Harry Potter.
Butter beer was really good. I had it once in 2012. Yeah, and it's like a it's like a vanilla. What's it called? It's like a cream
my
soda.
My girlfriend keeps talking about Disney, and she loves it.
Disney's awesome, yeah, but it's insanely expensive. Yeah, with kids for sure. Yeah, you know, Disneyland isn't as bad because you could just do it for one day and out. You don't have to blow like Disney World and also it's such an event that you have to like book everything. You can't. There's no fly by night.
Apparently, I think this. I don't know if it's Universal. There's some big corporate theme park in Tokyo.
Well, there's Disney Sea and Disney.
Well, it's not Disney. And they're building this whole Nintendo Land.
I've seen the Nintendo Land. The Nintendo Land's already built there.
It looks tremendous.
Aren't they building Nintendo Land here, too? I know it's already built in Japan. Well, it looks awesome.
Japan, from my understanding. And there's
The videos of that are on YouTube. They look awesome.
Probably the Mario Kart is, like, out of this world.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't see the whole stuff, but they go through, like, the tunnel. You should
take your son to the Legoland in upstate New York.
They have a Legoland down there, too, you know? So, I know. I got the Legoland upstate here. I saw it. We went to Sesame Place. And we saw the ads for it.
My cousin's, like, planning on taking his kid there eventually.
Cool. Yeah, I'm gonna too for sure. But
it's for kids.
Oh yeah, little kids. Yeah,
it does look cool.
10 and under probably, whatever. But we did Sesame Place and we're seeing a lot of ads for it. You know, Sesame Place is all right. We went on a really crowded Friday. It was so crowded, you know, can't even do. And my kid's tiny, so he couldn't even get on. You know, it wasn't like any of the rides.
I
went a couple times as a kid.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. If you're 10 and under, it's great. You know.
Yeah, you see Elmo and
Elmo, Big Bird. They got a Lazy River and water rides and like a couple of little.
It's great for kids. I don't remember much because I went when I was like 7. But
yeah, I vaguely remember. I remember more Six Flags as a kid or Dorney Park.
I went to Six Flags during COVID. It was great.
Empty, yeah.
But I never got sick from a ride because I went on like 4 roller coasters at once because there's no lines.
Oh, well, you got nauseous?
I was just so dizzy.
Sean puked up all his beer.
And I was hungover, so I like.
There you go.
So I was so hungover, and I went on El Toro, and I sat in the front seat car.
Uh-huh.
I literally ran in the bathroom and puked.
Oh, man, I love El Toro, too. But it could get a little rattly.
It was so fucking... King Dakar really fucked me up.
Oh, well, you did King Dakar, too. Listen, bro, you can't be going on these things like drunk or hungover, bro.
I got off King Dakar, I was stretching sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sweating from just... the sheer force of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My body was like, I was like green. I was like green.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not go. I went on all these rides, one at no line. So I was boom, 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 and I'm hungover.
Sure.
So I literally.
What was this last summer?
This was 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like fall 2020.
So I did Six Flags upstate during Halloween for Fright Fest, but that Six Flags.
Darien Lake.
It's near, what's it called? It's near Lake George, whatever.
Darien Lake.
Is that the one? It's Darien Wake, Six Flags, whatever, which one it is. It's a Six Flags, though.
I've been to the one Darien Lake. It's okay. It doesn't compare to Great Adventure.
No, it's not even close. It's like they had like one or two roller coasters that were like okay. Nothing that lives up to like Nitro.
I think the Lake George one's different. I want to go because my girlfriend's lake house is near
same.
There.
My wife's family has a place up there, and that's what we did. We spent
the
weekend.
We had to coordinate because...
Yeah, we should because we're not far away.
Her house is... Like the town, I think it's a 20-minute drive.
Well, same for my wife. She, the place there in Warrensburg, which is like
Warrensburg, Screw and Lake are like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
away.
They're so close.
So we have to coordinate.
We could coordinate.
Something.
We'll meet up in Lake George, have something, or we could even. I went to the outlets up there. Well, we spent.
You gotta go out on the boat. And...
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Is hers right on the lake?
On the lake.
Nice,
it's
nice,
tremendous.
Nice. Yeah, Lindsay's in a development that has a lake. You know,
I think Labor Day. I mean, my schedule's a little tight. But Labor Day, we're thinking so.
Oh,
bring the kiddos.
Oh, that's you're really thinking in advance here, Sean. Labor Day 2025, we'll get something coordinated. Yeah.
On the books.
We're on the books. We're stamping it down here. So I guess that's it. That wraps it up here today. We did
a lot of content.
Yeah, a lot of content. I'm excited to see finish up the Book of Boba Fett. Even Obi-Wan comes out fairly soon.
I want to do a. Retrocade road trip to the Toys R Us.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that, and we should definitely hit that.
We could take your son. I think he'd enjoy it.
Maybe we could do that in January. Due to the Toys R Us that opened up at the American,
the only brick and mortar Toys R Us in the United States.
In the United States, whatever's left,
they have like
pop up
stores.
Canada. That doesn't count. Yeah, they have like little sections of it in a Macy's or something. That's just not.
Canada has them.
Canada has them.
It was like a different ownership.
Exactly.
Group.
They just had the license to the name.
But
it was not
United States. And we actually did when we went to the flea market. We like popped in when they were still building and yelled at by security.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We went.
What
to
are
them.
You doing here? It was
what
like
jerks
suck
they
a
were.
Lemon,
yeah,
you
like
piece
yeah,
of
yeah.
Shit.
Go suck on a lemon is right. Yeah, like
hey,
like,
you get back here.
They didn't have any. Yeah, they're telling us things like, "What do you think we're like children? Like, I'll throw you off this balcony."
Yeah, really. You're kidding? Michael Grimm, I'll crush you.
I'll throw you off this balcony, kid.
You little worm.
Yeah, what did you? Yeah, called him a worm. I'll crush you like a bug. Yeah, I know. But like, come on, there wasn't even like ropes or anything to stop us. We were just walking through the mall. It was like a soft opening, like one store.
And
was
your
open.
Camera, he's like. Put that away.
I know, he's telling me not to film, like, and they were just, like, workers for, like, Journeys or something.
Yeah,
like
putting shoes on
they,
the shelf.
Yeah, they were, like, stocking the store for when they
officially
opened.
Yeah, it's
like
it was, like, a military base.
Yeah,
like, filming, like.
I know, like, as if, like, we, you know, like, first of all, again, there was no velvet ropes or anything. There was nothing stopping us from walking up the escalator, and now they're, like, barking at
us. That is literally, like. 18-year-old kid stocking shoes.
Yeah, like you know, and then it was like,
get back here.
And they were like,
put that camera away.
I think they were upset that we were filming while they were eating lunch, like on a milk crate. You know, it was like,
they were eating pizza.
Yeah, they were eating pizza on a milk crate. Like, so it was like their lunch break. But like, I don't give a shit if you're on like, your lunch break. Good on you. But like, you know, they didn't want that to be filmed. Like, well, too fucking bad. You know. So, but that was how that went. But yeah, so that's the mall it's in, and we're going to go see this, the new only Toys R Us in America. So that'll be interesting. Do you think that it's going to live up to expectation?
I don't.
No.
But you can chase some nostalgia for a minute.
Yes, we'll probably get some bits and pieces of feelings and nostalgia. Maybe some of like the way the layout, maybe, or maybe because it's, remember, Toys R Us.
It's good for your son to see a real toy store.
Yeah, for sure. There aren't any. Are there any?
Go on a Target or Walmart.
So a couple, three aisles of toys.
That's not a toy store.
No, it's not. I mean, we do Target a fair amount, the toy section. But again, five aisles of toys.
Walmart toy section's unbearably terrible.
Ass. It's
always
ass.
Empty. Why is it all? It's just logistical
distribution. Is garbage, but it was before COVID, so I don't know who to blame.
They have like WWE figures and like.
Remember how Toys R Us in
they
the 90s
so,
was
I
stacked? There wasn't like a bare shelf in any of the Staten Island Toys R Us's. They were stacked rows and rows of thick pegs of full of Star Wars figures or whatever you liked at the time.
Turtles.
There was a stack, but is it because they order less because kids don't play with toys as much as they used to? I mean, like, what is the answer, you know?
The shelves are always empty.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what is to blame or who is to blame or distribution.
I was in Target last night. I always glance at, like...
Staten Island Target? Middle Island, Richmond Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That Target has no toys.
So I was like, I look at like the Nika cool shit. Pop figures, they had about 35 Hawk Girls and nothing else.
Nothing else, yes. Yeah,
so oh, like we want a Hawk Girl?
But the pop figures, you're, they're usually on the back. On
that's
the,
where the adult toys
adult
are.
Collectibles, yeah, yeah.
I don't really go on the kids section.
Oh, you don't? But I do because I look for the vintage collection. Well, I have kids, yeah, sure, but I'm looking for my. I'm looking for like any just new Star Wars vintage collection. I look for like that stuff, and don't really. This is not is bare bones all the time. And in the New Jersey one, I see the only vintage collection figure I've seen as of late was like Lando, the new Lando, which is a nice sculpt, but it's like, well, you got one peg and one.
I did a little shopping at Walmart a few weeks. Actually, one by your house. I was gonna hit you up, but I didn't have time.
And I was in that one yesterday.
Bare and nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, again, you know, especially when it comes to Star Wars, like they'll have some toy, like dinosaur scraps or whatever, stuff I'm looking at because of my son. But, you know, again, when you compare what Toys R Us was to what, like, a toy, you know, what the toy section is at Walmart now, it's like laughable, you know? So I don't know. Is it a combination because kids don't play with toys as much because the distribution is
kids
poor?
Kids play with toys. I think it's just.
I know they do. Error. I mean, my kids play with toys, but like, I think maybe a lot of the market segment has been eaten up by like iPads and apps. But
it's your Amazons, man. They
blame your
Amazons.
Yeah. I mean, and you can buy the toys off Amazon too, which is, you know, just get it right
but
to
it's
your
not
door.
The same aesthetic. Like, no. Oh, you had a good report card. Let's
go
to
the
toy
store right here
and
there.
Out a toy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, like let's browse online. That's
no,
bullshit.
It's, oh, yeah, listen. No, but no different than what happened to Blockbuster, you know, with the let's go browse a movie.
North Korea is thriving. Right now,
it's
right?
The best one. And then they got that one still in Oregon is still around, right? That's like, weren't they turning it into like a bread and breakfast or something?
If I was in Oregon,
with that documentary,
I would 1,000% go.
Oh, I go all the time.
It's like, 3 hours, done.
We're a little far away from it. We're
like
2,800 miles.
We're doing what?
Yeah.
No, sorry, you have to go.
Sir, you have to leave here. But, yeah, that's all good stuff. So I guess the next time we'll be talking about more Book of Boba Fett. We'll certainly be here before the next Batman movie, the movie comes
out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But we'll definitely do more Book of Boba Fett.
That's the next big blockbuster.
That's the next big blockbuster, I guess. Yeah.
Phil won't watch it either, so don't worry.
I, for sure. By next podcast, I'll be up to date with the two movies that I didn't see. I saw Matrix Resurrections, Matrix Awakens.
It was streaming, you bastard.
Rey Awakens, yes. Well, that made it a lot easier, yeah. But, you know, Daisy Ridley was great in it, you know. They brought back Ian McGregor and Carrie Ann Moss and Lawrence Fishburne had to sit this one out. So,
but all right,
hits. But that's it, boys. Everyone, boys and girls, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your New Year's. Happy New Year. When we come back, it'll be 2022.
2022, everyone.
Enjoy yourselves and keep watching the stars.